Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Aloha and welcome to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman, an outreach of the prison ministry of First Assembly of God Honolulu. Now, let's join Brother Bulla for tonight's message of truth.
Aloha, no everyone. Brother Bulla here once again, sharing the good news with you. I want to welcome all of my brothers and my sisters who are tuning in tonight. Mahalo. I'd like to give a shout out to the Berean and Friday Chapel boys at Halawa. Good to see you today. Hope all is going well. Keep the faith. To my Waiava boys up in Majo 10 Cashbox program, keep up the good work, my brothers. And to the FDC faithfuls, you know who you guys are. Keep that Bible study going every night. Encourage each other. And to our good friends all over and across the United States, aloha, mahalo for tuning in. And to those of us here, right here in Hawaii, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Free Inside Ministry this evening. Free Inside Ministry is a prison ministry of First Assembly of God, Red Hill, Honolulu, that has a passion for the Lord with a vision to reach the incarcerated, the broken, and the lost, and to preach the gospel to every person. We share the word of God and words of encouragement each week to those that are incarcerated in Halawa, Waiava, OCCC, FDC, and soon in the Women's Correctional Facility in Kailua. We also minister to our brothers in Saguaro, Arizona, and we'll be heading there shortly to minister to them. Mahalo to all of us who have joined us this evening. Feel free to check out our website, www.freeinsideministry.com. .org, where you can find all of our programs in a podcast format to listen at your enjoyment. We also have a Facebook page and also an email address, freeinsideministry@gmail.com. Drop me a note, drop me a line. Let me know of any suggestions you might have to make this program more impactful, more meaningful to you, or just to let me know that you've listened to the show and you've enjoyed it. You can also check us out on our Facebook page, Free Inside Ministry, if you have a Facebook account. And that has all of the programs also. Plus, it has photos of our Free Inside Ministry and all the great things that the Lord is doing through us. Our anchor verse for the Free Inside Ministry is, "For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future." That's in Jeremiah 29:11. But he goes on to say in verses 12 to 14, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." Today's message is "I Am What I Am." Many of us growing up would read a book or two written by the infamous Dr. Seuss. So I'd like to open up with that today, just for a refresher course. For those of us, it might have been a few years, such as myself, probably more than 10, when I last read I Am What I Am. I am Sam. I am Sam, Sam I am. That Sam I am, that Sam I am. I do not like that Sam I am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Green eggs and ham, Dr. Seuss. That takes us back a few years. Would you believe that only 50 words were used in writing that entire story? Incredible. But it brings us right to today's message, I am what I am. In the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, in chapter 23 and verse 7, where it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." Basically, what you think is pretty much what you are, period. Don't go blaming your parents. Don't start blaming your brother or your sister or your cousins or your grandparents. Don't blame the neighborhood that you grew up in. Don't blame the current situation that you're in. Don't blame your ethnicity, group, or your heritage. Don't blame anybody or anything. For some of you, you might want to blame it on a generational curse that you're dealing with. But more often than not, it is the way, the method, the process, the creation of your thoughts. It is how you think in your mind. You see, your mind controls your body. Your body does not control your mind. Please. You don't sit there in the movie theater next to someone you don't know, and all of a sudden your right hand swings out and knocks the guy on the side of his head. Or you don't sit there at a restaurant and all of a sudden kick the waitress as she walks by. I mean, really. Any type of physical movement would have to be triggered by your mind. Most of the time, unless you have an ailment or a disability, and I'm not making light of that. But for the majority of those in the world today, any physical motion or activity would be triggered by a thought process. It would be triggered by the mind. It would be a creation of a thought, and that would be transferred to the neutrons in your brain, and then that would go out through the brain waves, and you would have a physical activity. In the Bible, in Romans 12:2, they have a great way of saying that. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I'd like to read it from the Jesus book also tonight so that we can enjoy that something. Now, we use the Jesus book a lot on the free Inside Ministry program. And the reason we use that, it's written in Hawaiian Pidgin. It's the New Testament only. They are still working on the Old Testament. But it gives us an opportunity to get a different flavor of what is trying to be said by our Lord. You know, Wycliffe are the publishers. They've done a wonderful job. But a lot of times, you see, it's the way that we think that proves the biggest hurdle for us. In the Jesus book, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it goes something like this. "Eh, don't make like how the people nowadays telling you how to do. More better, you guys let God make you guys think different inside so you can think new way about everything. Then you can go figure how God like you do. And the thing God like you do, stay good and make God stay good inside. And every time stay perfect." You see, for example, and I'll share this with you, my brothers and my sisters, my beloved, whether you're behind the walls or you're on this side of the wall, we all say that we have a problem with the devil. Myself included. But you know, the realization is our battle is not with the devil. He's a very easy scapegoat. He's a very easy target. He's something that we could focus on and everyone would commiserate with us. So they would join in and say, "Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. You got to fight the devil. Yeah, the devil." No, that's not who the battle is with. I personally have a lot of problems with myself. You see, I can rebuke the devil. I can get the devil under my foot where he belongs, and that's where God has placed him. But I have to die to self every day, and I do. But I think that Bula guy, myself, resurrects himself at night or something. It's a constant battle for me, and maybe for some of you. It's the battle of self. So although we'd like to focus on the devil as the enemy, although we like to focus on Satan and his legion of angels, the battle is pretty much ourselves. But it's always easy to look for a bad guy. It's always easy to look for a fall guy, because then everybody else will agree with you and they'll know what you're talking about, or they think they do. But isn't it amazing, in any of your relationships, the ones that you love the most are the ones that know how to push your buttons the quickest. Make no bones about it. The ones you love the most know how to drop you to your knees with just three words. And they know what to say, they know when to say it, they know how to say it, to the point where we just lose it. I'm not talking real nice, I'm just talking real. And you know, I might be the only crazy person in this room, but usually it's your significant other who sometimes is a significant bother. I'll say that real slow. Sometimes it's your significant other who is really a significant bother. Well, let me explain it another way. Billy Graham, probably the world's greatest evangelist, you've probably heard him, you've probably seen him over the years on the television with the Billy Graham Crusades, a counselor to, I think, at least four of the last presidents, if not more. He's probably one of the most mild-mannered, gentle human beings you would ever meet or ever read about or ever see. On a Larry King show recently, he said this himself. I love my wife, but boy, she can get me mad, and she knows exactly how to push my buttons. I know our wedding vows say, till death do we part, and sometimes I feel it's going to start real soon. You see, I've never thought of divorce, but I've considered murder a few times. And this is from Billy Graham, the world's greatest evangelist. You see, the secret of living in love together is your thoughts. Now, I'll speak personally. My beautiful angelic wife, Lynette, and I, we get into some disagreements, but like I tell her, if she just listened to me, then we wouldn't argue so much. And you know what? She tells me if I would listen to her, we probably wouldn't get into so many discussions. But maybe that's why God put us together, so we can learn how to listen to each other. Hallelujah. But you see, thought is everything to a man. What you think is what you are. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now, this goes for your kids, your wives, your parents, your family, your friends. Remember the story I used to tell you guys about how Jewish grandmothers, they get their grandkids and they're walking in the park. Usually they go out anywhere between 3:30 to 5 p.m. And you could be in anywhere like Tarrytown, New York, or any, even be at New York, in one of the parks in New York. But all the Jewish grandmothers, it could be around lunchtime where they get together and they want to show off their grandchild and they want to brag about their grandchild. And they walk around and they're pushing the little cart. You got to get this visual. You got the little gray-haired, blue-haired grandmother. She's bundled up in her coat, got the scarf around her hair, you know, and she's got the old black or brown shoes. You know, she's still wearing nylons at, you know, 123. And she's taking these really short stutter steps. And she's got the stroller going. The baby can't be more than 7 or 8 months. It's all bundled up and cuddly. And, you know, babies are cute. I mean, it's really hard to find ugly babies. They're out there. But for the most part, babies are really cute. They're God's grace. But yeah, she's walking around the park. She's going to come up to everybody and talk to them. She says, good afternoon. Do you want to meet the governor? This is the next governor. Or another Jewish grandmother say, you want to meet the next president? This is the next president. Or the other Jewish grandmother will say, you want to meet the next doctor? This is going to be a neurosurgeon. Or the other Jewish grandmother is going to say, you want to meet a professor? He's going to be a professor. And this starts at a very young age. What you think is what you are. What dreams you have growing up, how has your life been shaped by your thoughts? You see, local style, you know, and I had a dear friend when we were growing up. And, you know, names tell you a lot. Yeah, just think about Bula for a little while. But anyway, Bula, I was given my name by Auntie Lily, my Japanese auntie, because my mom was working. So my Japanese auntie gave me the nickname of Bambula. That's Portuguese for roly-poly. Where she got that idea, I never know. Maybe it's because I'm 6'1" and 295 pounds, plus or minus a few. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway, so from that, we get Bula. Now, the contrast with that is now, whenever I get introduced and it's an official engagement, my given name is Irving George Eastman. Works very well up in upstate New York, but we're in Hawaii, born and raised, part Hawaiian. So the Bula does a lot better down here. But it's just that the names we have. I had a friend growing up in our neighborhood, and we were all sitting around goofing off. We were teenagers, probably about 14 or 15. The next sibling he had was 12 years older than him, so I think Kimo was 26 or 27, and Boo Boo was 14. So that's about 12, 13 years. So Boo Boo was his nickname. Boo Boo was the name his parents gave him. Boo Boo was a name that his grandmother cherished. But Boo Boo's older brother was 13 years older than him. I wonder what Boo Boo stood for. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But sometimes our thoughts shape everything about us. You know, and like I was telling to our brothers earlier today in Halava, if you're tuning in for Halava, my brothers that were there today, God bless you guys. Powerful time in the Lord today. Powerful praying, powerful praise and worship. Holy Spirit came down into the Learning Center, enveloped the Learning Center, enveloped your hearts. And I hope that you're still walking with the Holy Spirit and a smile on your face, because you were gleaming. You all left that room a changed person, a changed man. You weren't the same as you walked in. You were different as you walked out. You had the Holy Spirit inside of you. God bless each and every one of you there from Halava today. But you see, it's always like, if you had an opportunity, what do you think is easier if you're a contractor? Is it easier to build a house from scratch, from the ground up? You know, you have a flat lot and you have to put it all together, 3-bedroom, 2-story house with a garage. Or would it be easier to demo a house, demolish a house? Well, if you're like any of the other contractors and contractor wannabes, We like demo stuff. We want to break it down. We want to run it over with a tractor. We want to tie up the post and pull it with the truck and pull the whole house down and go, yeah, as the cloud of dust rises up to the sky. That's the easy thing to do. It's always easier to destroy something. It's always easier to break something down. It's always easier to pick it apart. What is challenging, my brothers and sisters, what is challenging, my beloved, is when you have to be an encourager, when you have to lift someone up, when you have to lift their spirits up, when you have to build something from the ground up because there's nothing there, but it is time to move it up. So you build it up from scratch. You have to lay a solid foundation, not on the sandy soil. You have to be on the solid rock. You have to be on the solid rock of the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to base everything you do in the word so that everything that is built is solid. So when the storms come, when the challenges come, when the trials come, you will be ready. You will be armed with the full armor of the Lord God Jesus Christ. You'll be ready for battle. That's very difficult to build something up. A lot of times we just rather tear things down. You know, you got to think about when you're worshiping with your brothers, when you're worshiping with your sister, you should be of one spirit, one mind, and one accord. You know, a lot of times we leave church and we feel like nobody there is to support us. You know, like, why do we even go to church? You know, Jesus came for the broken. Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came for the hopeless. Jesus came for the sick. Jesus came for the incarcerated. Jesus came for you, and Jesus came for me. You know, a lot of times it's like how we picture things and how we see things. You see, we don't see things as they should be. We see things as they are. Earlier today in Halava, I was talking about God sees us how collegiate recruiters see athletes. When a college football coach comes to a high school, he's looking at young men that are 17 or 18 years old. He has to project in his mind's eye, after a few years of training, after a few years of working out, after a few years of being on the training table, that he can mold this young athlete, this young student athlete, this young man in front of him into a collegiate football player that would be able to help him, one, win more games. But also, in that same respect, he's looking for somebody that's going to be able to develop, be able to mature, be able to, with confidence, evolve into what he thinks would be their potential. You see, we all have potential, but do we all realize our potential that we have? So, like a college coach, God looks at us, and he projects us where he sees us, because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can comprehend what the Lord has planned for those that love him. You see, it's just like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans for a hope and a future. So God, being like a collegiate coach, he sees the upside. That's what they call it. They're looking for the upside. Because you cannot make a solid decision on a high school athlete without realizing there's got to be some upside. If that player stays at the same level that he's at right there, then he's not going to be an asset to your team. He's not going to be valuable to your team. He's not going to be able to produce at the level of competition that you need him to be at. So you have to look at what is the upside. He's at about 80%, but we can take him up to the 90 percentile with the right training, with the right education, with the right practicing, with the right training table, with the right coaching on the right techniques. He will realize his potential. A lot of times we don't realize our potential because life happens. You know, but we forget that who we are. You see, we come from the King of Kings. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's our Father. So that means we're an heir to the kingdom. We are not God's servant sons and daughters. We are God's sons and daughters that serve. Let me say that again real slow so you can bite on that tonight and take it as a takeaway. We are not God's servant sons and daughters. We are God's sons and daughters that serve. There's a big difference in both of those statements. You know, so the thing is, sometimes they people tell me, man, Bully, you're pretty positive all the time. You run pretty hard all day, all night. And they ask me, how do you get that the joy of the Lord in you? And I tell them, it's rough. Sometimes, you know, I get so tired and so exhausted, I got to call out to Jesus. But you know what I found out? The more I call out to Jesus, I just start preaching the word. I'll preach the word to the empty seat next to me in my truck. I'll preach the word to the radio. I'll preach to the birds. I'll preach to the geckos. I'll preach to the empty bench. I'll preach to anybody. And soon enough, when I'm through talking with Jesus, I'm so jacked up for Jesus, I can go anywhere with the power of the Lord that's in me. But you see, a lot of times, we've got to put more happiness, more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more faithfulness, more gentleness and self-control in ourselves. We got to get more joy going in ourselves. Just like the Mac salad on the plate lunch, you got an extra salad, take some extra joy. You know, there are days when you can feel that devil coming at you. You know, the enemy's coming at you. Don't let them take your joy. No matter what your situation is, don't let them steal your joy. Because it could be upside down, but inside you have the peace that surpasses all understanding. And you say, I know you got this, my God, but it's just rough right now. And the Lord wants to hear you call out to him. But you see, it all begins with your thoughts. You know, and it's our thoughts have to be more Christ-like. You know, there's two ways we're going to live our lives, my brothers and my sisters. We're either going to live in crisis or we're going to be in Christ. And if I had a choice between the two, because you can't be in the same place in two places at one time, we all know that, I'd rather be more Christ-like. But how do you do that? You do that by transforming your mind. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You cannot conquer yourself until you conquer your mind. It's a proving fact. In your mind is where the battle rages. The battles of life, your life, are right between your two ears. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. See, the devil wants you to believe that what you see is what you get, because the devil can only deal in the flesh. That's how he tempts you. He tempts you from the outside. He tempts you in the flesh. But God deals with you inside. God deals with you in faith. The devil has no authority over you. So he is like the thief who comes at night to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. He doesn't build up. He destroys. The devil plays with your mind in your leisure thoughts. Right now, I can get you so jacked up, we'll run everywhere. But what happens at 2 a.m. when I'm not around to encourage you, when I'm not around to lift you up, when I'm not around to get you out of the gutter, when I'm not around to get you standing up, fighting with the full armor of God against the battles of the enemy, the battles, the principalities of evil and darkness that are in front of you? What happens then? That's when the devil will attack you, when you're most susceptible to that. You know, the devil wants you to look at the barbed wire. The devil wants you to look at those walls you're surrounded in. The devil wants you to look at your 119 roommates. The devil wants you to look at the ACOs in the bad mood. The devil wants you to look at those locked doors. The devil wants you to smell that body odor of all your roommates living so close to you in close quarters. The devil wants you to smell the fear. The devil wants to get inside of your mind. How do you battle the devil? By the living word of God and our Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's how you defeat the enemy. When you're not hearing the word of the Lord, you're hearing the word of the enemy. When you're not thinking about God, you're thinking about the devil. Where does your mind wander? Those thoughts in your quiet time, that is what is going to control your mind. If you want to be blessed and stay blessed, you got to have the mind of God. Your quiet time is when the devil is going to come after you. You can't look to the ministry. You can't look to the pastors. You can't look for the chaplains. It's only going to be you. What do you have to fight the devil? You have the word of God. Because if you read the end of the book, we win. We still have the victory. We have the victory by the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for you, for me, our families, our kids, and everyone else that's coming. It's all about how your thoughts control your lives. You know, it's just, we just let the devil get inside of our head and we start to begin to believe the lies of the devil. You know, it's just sometimes when you get back to your bed, maybe you're sitting there right now and you just got to remember Romans 12:2. I'm going to pound that verse tonight. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world conform you. You're greater than that. But you have to be transformed, and you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing means an ongoing process. It's not a two-day class. It's an ongoing process. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I am what I think I am. Do you know Jesus? If you do, we have a covenant together, and I'm here to build you. I'm here to lift you up. I'm here to support you. I'm here to get you so that your thoughts are closer to God, so that your thoughts are more Christ-like. The closer you are to Jesus, the farther you are away from the enemy. God will meet you anywhere you're at. Just you have to talk to him. You have to invite him. You don't pay the price for success. You pay the price for failure. Because to build a house, you need a plan. And to build your life, you need God. Because God has a plan for your life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. I know that the Holy Spirit is with you right now as we sit going to wrap up this program tonight. I just want to tell you the one thing that you should do, and this is in Matthew 6:33. This is a great anchor verse. but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But seek first his, who? God's. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. My brothers and my sisters, you have to know that God does not use the qualified, he qualifies the called. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. It's all about availability. It's not about capability. You got to do what you can do, and God's going to do the rest. God will not do for you what you can do. You see, you've got to go into partnership with him. You've got to come into a covenant agreement with him. You've got to come into an agreement with him that you're giving your life to Jesus, that you want a change in your life, that you're tired. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You've been on the wrong side of the track so far. You don't know which way the tracks go anymore. We're going to be closing in prayer just in a few seconds, but I just wanted to thank you for tuning in tonight. I am what I am. It's a choice that we make every morning when we wake up, when our good Lord and Savior gives us breath to breathe. Wake up with an attitude of gratitude. If anything, start your day with that. Be thankful for the blessings that are surrounding you. Be thankful for the opportunity to call him your Lord and Savior. Be thankful for all of the blessings he continues to give you, despite your shortcomings, despite your failures. God loves you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, to all those that are listening tonight, Father God, I reach out to them. I ask you to bless them. Bless them in abundance, Lord. Hold them close to you in their times of trial and tribulations. But let them know that as they go through the storm, you are with them, Father God. Be with them now, Father God, until the next appointed time that we can be together. Hold them in your loving embrace. Ikeo kua koho'onania. To God be the glory.
You've been listening to Free Inside with Brother Bulla Eastman. We hope tonight's message has blessed and encouraged you. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Email Brother Bulla at freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. That's freeinsideministry@gmail.com or call 222-2822. This program was sponsored by Honolulu Ford and by First Assembly of God Honolulu. Remember, if the sun sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Free inside. Until tomorrow night at this same time, may God be with you.